The book of Malachi, chapter 4. Malachi, chapter 4, and verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, and that's S-U-N, of course, the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank thee for the hymns we've been singing. And oh, we pray tonight that each one of us may know the joy of the Lord, that spiritual sunshine in our hearts tonight. We pray that as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, that our minds will be focused upon him. And, O Lord, that thou would cause thy face to shine upon us tonight. Look upon us favorably, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at the third commandment, not taking the Lord's name in vain. Pointed out that the Lord has many names in Scripture. He reveals himself by his names. You say, well, why are there so many names of the Lord? Because he's such a wonderful person. His character is so great, so glorious, that the various names are to focus our attention upon some particular aspect of his character. And each name is like a miniature portrait of his beauty. There are two groups, I said, in Malachi. Those who despised the Lord's name, who spoke stout words against the Lord. There are those that thought upon his name, who spoke to each other about his name, who feared the name of the Lord, who thought upon the name of the Lord. And a promise is to those who fear his name that the Son of Righteousness shall arise. One of the most precious names of our God is the Son. S-U-N. The Son. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, the Lord God is a Son. He's a Son. In other words, all that that Son means to us on this planet, that is only a pale reflection, but nevertheless a reflection of what God is to his people. That's the meaning. And I thought about this title the last few days for the obvious reason. The weather was beautiful, the sun was shining, and my, when the sun was shining, it brings a change. You know, people that were grumpy and long-faced and wouldn't say hello to you, and they're grumpy. My, when the sun shines out, hello, how are you? And my attitudes lift. People seem happier until they get sunburned. But people are happier when they see the sun. The sun brightens things. The sun has a wonderful effect. And you know, that's an illustration of a far, far greater effect. Thinking upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to have to us spiritually. Not only Psalm 84:11 is the Lord God a Son, but here in Malachi 4 and 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is compared to the Son. Not only the Son, but it speaks here that it's the Son of righteousness. But not only that, it's the Son of righteousness arising in his wings. That's just a way of saying in the sunbeams, shining. The sun's rays. That's what it's talking about. The sun's rays coming to us. Why is the Son a wonderful type of God, especially the Lord Jesus Christ when he came upon earth to be our Savior? Well, you think of the supremacy of the Son. It's the greatest planet, of course, in our solar system. The scientists tell us that all the other planets, including Earth, that the Sun is still 790 times larger. So the Sun's far, far larger than all the planets. You know that the planets revolve around the Sun. It's in the center. I'm thinking of the supremacy of the Sun. Ah, but you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is really the Supreme One. Because he's the one that made the sun. You think of the splendor of the sun. How many poets have waxed lyrical? And you've looked at pictures, those interested in photography or paintings, of the beautiful sunset. Or maybe the sun rising in the morning. And you think of the splendor and the beauty. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is more wonderful. He's more beautiful than any of them. Psalm 19 that we read, the psalmist used poetic language, and he said, you know, the sun in the sky is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber adorned for the wedding. You see, in those days, or a king or prince, it's the man who would have dressed up really fancy. You know, today in weddings, of course, the bride usually dresses in white, the symbol of joy and happiness. Men dress in black, the symbol of mourning. In those days, the king, if it was the king's son, they would have come and they would have been arrayed and he would have had his friends with him and royalty and maybe a canopy over him. And the psalmist said, that's like the sun in the sky. You know, all those other stars, and they're there to show forth the glory of the sun. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's all glorious, the splendor. You see, this Christ is brighter than the noonday sun, for Paul saw Christ. And his light was brighter than the noonday sun. Christ's visage and clothes on the Mount Transfiguration, they shone. They shone so bright. The supremacy of the sun, the splendor of the sun, but the strength of the sun. In Psalm 19 that we read, it says nothing is hid from the power of it. You know, the sun sustains our life upon earth. If we were slightly, of course, in millions of miles, but you know, it's millions of miles away, but if we were slightly, just a little bit, in comparison to the distance of the sun, away from the sun, there'd be no life on this planet. It would be too cold. A little bit closer, there could be no life on this planet. You see, there's a designer, there's a creator. But the strength of the sun sustains life upon this planet. Where do you think we get our food from? The sun. The sun causes the plants to grow. The sun causes the plants, of course, to give forth the oxygen and to take in carbon dioxide and so on. That's why you get trees often planted near a place where the cars are, to suck in the carbon monoxide and other things and to give out oxygen. But the sun causes the plants to grow that give the food. Of course, might feed the animals and we eat the animals, but the sun is responsible. What about the energy? We talk about solar energy. But where do you think coal and oil and gas come from? Originally, the sun made the plants to grow that later, of course, became the coal or the oil. The sun is all strength. The strength of the sun. But the Lord Jesus Christ is stronger. What the Bible is saying, Christ is compared to the sun, but in a far greater way. And the sun has tremendous power. Nothing's hid from it. And here's a solemn thought. Do you ever think of this? The same sun that will melt wax will harden the clay. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. And if you know in Malachi, there are two different groups. The sun scorches some, but the others it brings healing. There is healing with the sun. I know there are warnings, and we ought to heed them, about we fair-skinned people with the danger of too much sun. But it is true medically that the sun does help in healing. Of course it does. Going out in the sun can be a help to healing. I'm told, and I know of a nurse here visiting tonight, and there's another nurse, I think, here, at least one other here tonight. But I'm told in good authority some years ago that it was a nurse discovered when little babies were born jaundiced. In a hospital ward, she noticed that on one side of the ward where the sun was coming through a window, that those babies seemed to get over it quicker. And they did some tests. And they find out that some little babies born with jaundice, they put them under, I think it's ultraviolet light. I'm not sure all the technical. You can ask the nurses afterwards, but I think that's the name of it, they put it under today. The sun can heal. But the Lord Jesus Christ can heal. And that's what the verse means in chapter 4 and 2. It says, the sun of righteousness arise with healing in the sun's rays, as it were. In his grace flowing out. You remember the woman touched the hem of his garment. He said, virtue has flowed out. From Christ, just as from the sun, those thousands of miles away, the sun's rays come to this earth. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sends forth the sunshine, as it were, of his grace and his mercy, there's healing. I started to think of some of them. I have to list them very quickly tonight. This verse was fulfilled partially at his incarnation. That means when he came into the world. See, Malachi wrote this at the end of the Old Testament. Times were dark. For 400 years there was no more scripture written. It was silent. There were no messages. And then all of a sudden, at Bethlehem, God the Son sent forth his Son into the world. And what do you read in Luke chapter 1 verse 78? You read this. The day spring from on high hath visited us. You know the day spring, and if you have a good margin Bible, the sunrise. In other words, Malachi says here in chapter 4, he's coming, the Messiah, the promised one. He's going to come, and his coming will be like the sun rising in the morning, sending out the beautiful sunlight. And there in Luke 1:78, you've got it. The sunrise has come. He's come. He's here. And he came with healing. Because when he was here upon earth, he healed the lame. They could walk. He healed the blind and they could see. How he could heal? He came with healing. But the important thing to remember, he's the Son of Righteousness. And he came into the world, and this is so strange when you think about it, that he who is the Son, the light of the world, went into darkness. Because there on Calvary in the 3 hours of darkness, he who is the light, he who spoke at the beginning of the creation, let there be light, and there was light. He went voluntarily into the darkness. Not only the darkness in the sense of over all the earth in those 3 hours of suffering, but in those hours of suffering, God put the darkness of what it means for a soul to be lost eternally. God put the hell of all who will trust in him upon his Son. Hell is described as a place of outer darkness, of the blackness of darkness. And for those 3 hours, Christ suffered, not only at the hands of men and of Satan, he suffered at the hands of Jehovah. Why? Because he was taking his people's punishment. He who is the light of the world, the Son, came. Why? So that we could have righteousness. So that we would never have to go into the darkness of hell. So that he could bring healing. But then I thought about the resurrection. Does this verse not fulfill then? The Son of Righteousness shall arise. You see, all was dark when Christ's body lay in the grave for those 3 days and 3 nights. The disciples felt defeated, discouraged. They were downhearted. They felt all their hopes had gone. They felt that the Master had gone. But all of a sudden, what happened? Up from the grave, he arose. He was alive. And he arose with healing. Because those disciples who were downhearted and discouraged, when they saw the risen Savior in the upper room, what did he say to them? Have joy. They joyed when they saw the Savior. And the sense of defeat and discouragement was gone. You see, the Lord had taught them for 3.5 years, but you know, you'll read over and over again, they didn't understand. Do you know, on one occasion, and I smile at this, the Lord said, do you understand? And the disciples say, yea, Master, we understand. He said, no, you don't. Sounds like a teacher, doesn't it? You don't understand at all. But you know, after Christ rose in the upper room, he spoke to them. And it says he opened their understanding and the sunshine shone in. And they understood Old Testament scriptures. They clicked. The light was opened. The Lord shone through. Oh, thank God the Son of Righteousness arose and defeated the darkness of sin and Satan. But then I think too of salvation. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing and his sun rays and his wings. What is salvation?
Well, salvation is the sunshine of Christ shining into a soul. Of course it is. My heart's dark. Your heart's dark. Maybe you don't realize how dark it is. It's only when you begin to see the holiness of God, His righteousness, that you begin to see how dark the human soul really is. So dark. What's salvation? The Bible says it's being translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. I know some people mock. And you hear someone been saved and they say, oh, suppose you've seen the light. Well, they've got it dead right. Because before you're saved, your understanding's darkened. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. But what does Paul go on to say in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6? Listen, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined. There's the sunshine. God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is salvation? Salvation is when He who's the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, shines His grace into your darkened heart. And you see that He's the light. That's what salvation isn't by your effort. Salvation's not by your works. Salvation isn't by you trying your best. Salvation isn't by you giving up this sin or that sin or the other sin. It's getting into Christ's presence. Salvation's of Christ. When we were in New Guinea, I may have told this in another context. When we were in Papua New Guinea, as you know, we lived away upper river, 100 degrees every day, very humid. Very, very humid. Full of creepy crawlies in the tropics. We had a little store down by the river where we stored boxes and so on. I remember going down and with a case and shoes for children over the years that they'd grow up. And then termites got out and the white ants. And they ate all the leather off the shoe and left a little metal eye. They even ate the suitcase. All you're left was sort of fell apart when you lifted it. They would eat wood. The termites would just go through everything. You'd cockroaches as well. Plenty of them. And now and again you'd go down, you'd have a box of belongings. There's no point in trying to look through and pick something out to squash a cockroach. You'd never be done. You know what we used to do? Get the box, hold it away from you a bit because there may have creepy crawlies in it. You'd go out, you'd lovely day like this in the grass. You'd turn the box over and let everything fall out. And you know what happened? The cockroaches and the creepy crawlies, and I know all the names of them, they just scattered to get into the dark. They had to go. So it was funny to see it, to see where they'd get there before the hens got them. Made lovely eggs, by the way, when they ate the cockroaches. The hens would go running after the cockroaches. Maybe that's put you off eating eggs. But that's how you get rid of them. The sunlight did it. And is that a picture of salvation? And yes, of sanctification in the Christian life. It's not by our effort. I'm not saying, of course, that we just drift along. Of course, we're to strive after holiness. But yet, the teaching is there, surely. It's not our effort. Salvation is not by us saying, oh, I'll give up this, I'll give up that. It's getting to Christ. It's the sunshine of His presence that clears away the sin out of the life. You'll never do it. And once you're saved, the grow in the Lord is to keep in His presence. Oftentimes people say, can I do this? Can I do that? Can listen, you get into the Lord's sunshine of His presence, a lot of those questions are answered. You live in the sunshine of His presence. Salvation is Christ coming. Christ coming. Then I thought of consolation. Son of righteousness arising. There, in His incarnation, His resurrection, salvation, but consolation. How many times have believers been sad and lonely and downhearted? Ah, but the Lord Jesus Christ, like heavenly sunshine, has come to their lives. We sang that hymn earlier in our hymn book, The Sunbeam Shining. And then we sang Eliza Hewitt's great hymn, There is Sunshine in My Soul Today, More Glorious and Bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. And then it goes on to sing in one of the verses, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there's sunshine in my soul. Who was Eliza Hewitt? She was a young lady, always as a young girl, desired to be a teacher. She graduated and became a teacher for about a year or so. And then she took a spinal disease and for decades was bedridden. She was an invalid. She wrote many hymns in our book that we love. That one about when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We sang one of her hymns in the first one, and she wrote that hymn. Even though she was lying on the bed of sickness, there's sunshine in my soul. What did she mean? She meant, as a Christian, the sunshine of the presence of the Son of Righteousness had come near to her. That's what you can have as a believer. The world knows nothing about that. If you're not saved, you're on your own. You're on your own. My, what an epidemic loneliness is today. You can be lonely in a crowd. But oh, if you have the Savior, the sunshine of his presence with you. What a difference. What a difference he makes. Well, I thought of another one when I went through these. This verse, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his sun rays. I thought of the Reformation. How do you explain the great Reformation of the Middle Ages? Calvin, 500th anniversary of his birth in just a few days. How do you explain what happened? Europe was dark. You call that period in church history, in fact, the word, the secular history too, the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages, that's what it's called. You see, up into the 1500s, there was no such thing as a free nation. Nations weren't free. Even the Emperor of Europe had to bow to the Pope. One emperor was kept standing in the snow for, was it, 2 or 3 days, till the Pope saw. He had to bow down before the Pope. The papacy ruled, the Vatican ruled. Liberty was unknown. It was dark politically, it was dark ecclesiastically, religiously. The one church. I laugh when people talk about, let's work for church unity, one church. They had that for centuries in the Middle Ages, and it brought persecution, because there always have been true believers. But in those ages, they were put to death for their faith. Millions of them. Why? Because it was the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. Rome ruled. And it was dark morally. Martin Luther, when he visited Rome, he was still a devout Roman Catholic at this time. And when he visited Rome expecting to be the highlight of his life, he said, if there's a hell, Rome's built over it. When he saw Pope Alexander VI, the Borgias, and he saw the lavish parties that the Pope was giving for his children when they were married. Of course, most of the popes then had children. Of course they did. It's a fact of history. Popes at that time were the most immoral people that walked the earth. And he saw the awful sin and immorality. Couldn't believe it. It was dark educationally and scientifically, because Copernicus and Galileo were persecuted for simply telling scientific truth. For saying the earth was round, sphere-shaped, even though the Bible said God sitteth on the circle of the earth. The Bible teaches this planet we're on is a circle. But yet the Vatican condemned them. They didn't promote education because they didn't want people to read the Bible. It was dark. But you know what happened? Light came. If you ever visit Geneva, I've had the privilege of being on a tour there, leading a tour. And it was a wonderful sight to stand at the great Reformation wall in Geneva. 234 feet long. It was started to be built 100 years ago, 1909. It wasn't completed till about 8 years later. And across that big wall where you stand, you can't get right over to it. There's sort of a moat to stop you. But the statue of Calvin, of Martin Luther, two other great reformers. But you know what they have at the bottom in Latin? A quote from Isaiah 60. Where it talks about the people have sat in gross darkness. They've seen the light. And what's the great text at the bottom of it of the Reformation? After darkness, light. What's the explanation for the great Reformation? Was it Martin Luther's genius? Was it Calvin's genius? No, it wasn't. That Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shone across Europe, and many a darkened soul was saved. That's the same explanation of the 1859 revival. That the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings, and darkness was sent away. But there's one more before I finish. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in the sun rays and the wings. I think of his incarnation. Oh, it was the Son of Righteousness arising after 400 dark years. His resurrection. Oh, it was like the sun arising. Night had been turned to day. In salvation, is not what it is to be saved. You're in the darkness of your sin, and then the Son of Righteousness shines upon you, Christ. You enter into the sunshine of his salvation, of his pardon, of his peace. My, when you're going through times of trouble, consolation, you can say, it's as if the sunshine, the spiritual sunshine, Christ has come. The great Reformation. Ah, but there's one last one. You see, in Malachi 4 and 2, he's talking in particular about the second coming. You see, it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, the day. What day is he talking about? The second coming. The glorification of Christ, when he shall come in glory. And what Malachi is saying, listen, there's those who are speaking against Christ, and they're against him, and they're speaking against the Lord. But listen, he's coming. And he's coming like the sun. But it'll be a day of judgment for those that have despised his name. And that's why he said that they'll burn like an oven. In verse 1, they'll be burnt up like stubble in a field, that's dry with the sun's rays beating upon it, and a match is set, and it just burns. So that's what it's going to be like for the wicked when the Lord comes. Going to be a day of judgment. Day of judgment. But it'll be a day of jubilation for those that fear his name. That's the point. It'll be a glorious day, not a grievous day. It'll be a happy day, not a horrible day for the believer. It'll be a celebration, not a day of retribution. A day of jubilation, not one of judgment. And there's that lovely picture of what you'll be like. I think, believe this is speaking of heaven. The Lord comes. What it'll be for the believer? It'll be as if the sun has risen. And you look what it says at the end of verse 2. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Well, actually, what that means in the Hebrew is not the sense of growing bigger. It's the sense of the calf going out into the field. And you farmers can tell me about the calves. If they've been locked in a stall in the dark, penned into a little stall, and there's a lovely sunny day like tonight, and suddenly you go and you open the stall, and that calf gets out into the field. What does it do? No. It kicks its, well, is that what you call it? Kick its heels or leaps or whatever a calf does. It jumps around. It's excited. The calf's free out in the sun. That's exactly what the Bible is saying. When Christ comes, you'll be like a skipping calf been released out of the stall. No more sickness. No more pain. No more sin. But what a contrast to those that despise his name. Remember I said, the same sun that melts clay, that melts wax, hardens clay. The coming of the Son of Righteousness with healing, that applies to those who are in Christ, who are saved. For those that are not in Christ, it's a day of judgment. It's a day of burning. And you think of the awful burning power of the sun. We're thinking of a different sense now. We thought of the healing. But you think of the awesome burning power of the sun. You can't look at the sun for any length of time without going blind. And the prophet says, for those that despise his name, judgment. But for those that are saved, jubilation. What a day it will be. There was a famous prophetic writer called C.A. Blackmore. He was one of the first radio preachers way back in the early 1900s in the United States of America. A good man, good preacher. And one week he preached on his radio message, "Friends, we have a glorious hope. The Bible calls it the blessed hope. The Bible says one day the trumpet will sound, Christ will come back to take his people home. All your suffering and pain will be over. We'll have a new body like his body. You'll have a glorified body someday, some golden daybreak, when Jesus comes back." They received a letter from a woman listener who had been bedridden for years, and she wrote, "Mr. Blackmore, the message you give on Christ's coming was such a blessing. I've been an invalid for 25 years. Sometimes I get so discouraged. But oh, I can hardly wait for the Lord to come. To think I'll walk again. To think I'll see him. Thank you so much for your sermon." His son Carl was actually playing the piano that day for the radio broadcast, and he also sang a solo, Carl Blackmore. And when he heard that, his father showed him that letter, he had heard the message too. He went and he penned the words of the hymn we're just about to sing. "Some glorious morning sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, labor all done. Heaven will open. Jesus will come." And that's exactly what Malachi was saying. He's coming. But you make sure you're ready for his coming by trusting in him. 160 in our hymn book.